One verse tonight in Proverbs chapter 18, that's verse number 13. So let's all read together tonight, Proverbs 18 and verse number 13. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Lord, thank you for the wisdom in your word. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to desire to increase in our wisdom, our knowledge, and help us, Lord, again tonight to listen with our whole hearts. And Lord, use our preacher. Meet with us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
The Bible teaches us. Now, tonight the Bible study has a title. It's Two Ears Plus One Mouth Equals Wisdom. Two ears plus one mouth equals wisdom. It is the fool who speaks first and listens later, while it is the wise person who listens before he speaks. And if the young man Rehoboam was to be the kind of king that Solomon was training him to be, he would have to learn to listen before he speaks. And notice the words in our text again, if you would please. Verse number 13, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it. God is so wise. If he speaks before he knows the whole story, the Bible says it's folly and shame unto him. Anatomically speaking, you will notice that your head that God gave you, it has two ears and one mouth. And I'm sure you've already got that figured out. Through the years, many have said that means that God wants you to listen more than you speak. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, especially in light of Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13. Practically speaking, two ears makes it easy for you to balance, okay? You have two. And I know that when I've got hearing aids, as you know, and I'll be driving along, and sometimes one of them dies on me. The battery just quits. Well, that leaves one of them, and I'm listening. And you talk about spatial feeling. I mean, it's like, whoa, I'm a little bit out of balance now because I'm only listening with one ear, as I should. Same thing's true, by the way, with your eyes. If you are used to having two eyes, and you put a patch over one of them, it's hard for you to understand or to be able to see space, spatial things, and be able to interpret that properly. So God gave us two ears, but spiritually speaking, this meant that we should listen more than we should speak. And Solomon understood this because God gave him wisdom in this area. And God gave a king two ears to listen to his people. He didn't give us one ear. He gave us two. Balances things out. And of course, it teaches us that we need to hear both sides before we speak or know the entire story before we speak. And would it not, listen, it'd be good for a king to be able to listen to the whole story before he makes a judgment. It'd be good for a president to do the same, good for parents to do the same thing when rearing their children. The truth of the matter is two ears God gave us are for that balance. And Solomon knew the importance of being a good listener. I have your Bibles. I want you to go right now to 1 Kings chapter 3. Before Rehoboam was ever born, Solomon's wisdom was put to the test. And so what I want to do is I want to read you a number of verses from 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then Said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Now, if that's where the story ended, boy, I'd have a problem with it. But the interesting thing is that the Lord gave Solomon great wisdom. That was one of the things that he granted him. He said, don't give me riches. He says, just give me enough wisdom to rule your people. And God gave him that. And it says, then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment that the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. He had to make decisions, but he listened to both women. He didn't just listen to the one. He heard both sides of the story. Had he not been a good listener, he surely would have judged wrongly. And I believe that, had he not been a good listener. But in this case, I think he would have judged wrongly. But in order to judge with the right wisdom, Solomon had to listen very carefully to both sides of the story. Same story, having listened well, he decided wisely, and the child was returned to his mother. Just one of the great stories in the Bible. And I love how it's presented to us. And there have been many throughout the years in Bible history who have spoken before they heard the full story. Yes, the Bible has examples of those. And let me give you, if I can, a few of these. We're going to turn in our Bibles. And I want you to go, first of all, to Esther chapter 3. Esther chapter 3, a fellow by the name of Ahasuerus, also known as Xerxes. And I want to read here at Esther chapter 3 and verse 10 first, and then we're going to go to another passage in the story. Esther chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, and the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and the Jews' enemy, and said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in thy sight, and the things seem good before the king, and it be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which were in all the kingdom, king's provinces. Now, Ahasuerus did not know the full story from Haman. He did not have everything, but he made a judgment. Later, he learned the truth. And before he knew the truth, he made the mistake of linking up with Haman, who was the only person in all the Bible called the Jews' enemy. Very interesting. But he didn't listen to both sides of the story, so he made a wrong decision. He signed up with the wrong group. And if you want to take your Bible and go to Esther chapter 8, chapter 8 and verse 5. And you're welcome to look that up. Ahasuerus did not know the whole story, but he made a judgment before he knew the rest of the story. Now, God protected his people. I'm very, very thankful for that. But when you listen to only half of a story, this is what happens when people often consort with their peers. They'll find someone who agrees with them in the dilemma that they're in without getting the full story or the kind of wisdom that they ought to get. Now, the next person I want to give you is Darius, or Darius, as I call him Darius, in Daniel chapter 6. You have your Bible there. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 9, the Bible says, wherefore King Darius, or Darius, signed the writing and the decree. Now jump down to verse 14. Then the king, when he had heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Now jump down to verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting, neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Darius, being filled with pride and self-will, made a wrong decision that affected his good friend, Daniel. He listened to the wrong crowd, but he did not hear the rest of the story. Hasty decisions usually hurt those who are closest to you. Let me say it again. Hasty decisions usually hurt those that are closest to you. And that's what happens all too often. Why? Because we don't hear the entire story. And this is why it's good not to be impulsive when making decisions. Why? Because you need to hear the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. The rest of the story is important. The other side of the story is important, without taking only one side. And then in Acts chapter 16, you have your Bibles there. And go to chapter 16, beginning in verse 37, we have some magistrates that had the same problem. And verse 37 says, "But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans, and they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city." So here we have one side of the story heard by those in leadership, and wrong decisions were made, and here they were Roman citizens and should never have been in jail. Very amazing thing. But when you're not hearing both sides, you're going to end up making an incomplete decision. And so knowing all the facts would have saved these magistrates a lot of heartache and would have also kept the Apostle Paul from being arrested. But no, they didn't get the entire story at the first. It was later that they got it. You would think that in each of these cases, the people involved only had one ear. But they needed two, because what the Bible says, if you don't hear the entire story, it's a shame to you. You need to listen more before you speak. And there's nothing wrong with remaining silent before making a decision so that you hear all that needs to be said. When our school was open here, sometimes we had to have sessions with students where we had to hear both sides of an accusation. One said this, another said that. So we had to listen to both sides if we were going to make a right judgment. And so another example of this is found in the life of Job. And I'm not going to read the passages because you know the men, but I'm going to give you the references to them if I can. And he had three friends who judged him before they knew all the facts. And I think we understand that. Now, yes, these three friends came and sat with him for 7 whole days, knowing that Job was suffering, covered with boils, and all the people that had died, and his servants had died, and his children had died, and his wife was not at that time loyal to him, but said, "Just curse God and die." And they came and sat with him for 7 days. That's commendable. They didn't say any words. But what the words that they said later on were the ones that were so condemning. First of all, there was Eliphaz. You want to write down the references. I'm going to give you each reference. Eliphaz accused Job in chapter 4, verse 1, all the way through chapter 5 and verse 27. And then again in chapter 15, verses 1 through 35. And then in chapter 22, verses 1 through 30. So all these times where Eliphaz did the accusing that he shouldn't have done. But he didn't know the whole story. He had no idea of what the entire story was. Same thing's true with the second man, Bildad. Bildad, by the way, was the shortest man in the Bible. It says Bildad was the shoe height, so you can take that to the bank anytime you want to. Or it could have been the disciples. The Bible says they slept on their watch, but that's neither here nor there. Bildad accused Job in chapter 8, verses 1 through 22. Chapter 18, verses 1 through 21, and chapter 25, verses 1 through 6. So that's Eliphaz and Bildad, and then you've got Zophar. He accused Job in chapter 11, verses 1 through 24, chapter 20, verses 1 through 29, and chapter 27, verses 11 through chapter 28, and verse 28. So we have all these times where these men accused Job. They did not have the entire story. Perhaps when they got there, and for those 7 days, they come to their own conclusions. Maybe they came to, we know that they came to their own conclusions because their conclusions were absolutely wrong. And their accusations assumed that Job's affliction was a direct result of his sin. And you know, it was said by the disciples, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, none of them have. He said, this is for the glory of God. And God was glorified in Job's own life by what had happened to him. And by the way, with friends like Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, I'm just here to tell you, who needs enemies if you got men that's going to accuse you like that? You've heard it said, with friends like these, who needs enemies? These three men were simply not listening to the facts. And perhaps they did not give Job the benefit of the doubt, which we ought to learn to do. And they did the same. Listen, they did the thing that Solomon warned his son about, and that is speaking before the facts are known. And so we can learn from this to be good listeners. And anytime someone comes with an accusation or a statement about someone or something, it's best not to take it face value, especially if it's a criticism. And after these friends were done accusing Job and all the facts were known, Job had a real friend, and this is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. You have favorite characters, don't you? I love Elihu. He had a Popeye moment. He basically said, I've had all I can stands, and I can't stands no more. In other words, he said, I'm fed up listening to these three friends as they criticized Job, and he took off, and he spoke up, and in fact, he spoke up from chapter 32, all the way through chapter 37 are the words of Elihu. You might want to take a moment and read through that sometime. And you must remember, he listened for 28 chapters and then decided to speak. That was a wise man. He didn't speak up immediately when Eliphaz started in on his criticism, his accusations, when Bildad accused Job unjustly. And when Zophar took off accusing Job, Elihu said nothing. He kept his mouth shut. But after everything was done and he knew the entire story, he did speak up. And he listened. That's amazing. He listened for 28 chapters. You don't see his name until the end of that. And having listened for these many chapters, he declares Job and his friends that afflictions are often sent as a means to strengthen and purify God's own. Elihu was a good man. He really was. And he had a lot of good things to say. But he set these three friends, I think, in their places. And so sometimes, you know, he affirms that afflictions are not always the expression of God's anger. I told you when I went into the hospital a number of years ago and I walked in to see a friend and he was there. And the first thing he said was, he said, I guess you're here to, you know, to basically say you're on your back because you've been away from God. And I said, no. Not at all. And I sat and tried to comfort that friend of mine, and I did as best I could. But does this happen in modern day churches and things like that? Of course it does. I'm going to give you three examples, if I can, that are actually ones that have happened in recent years. A church in Michigan, I'm not going to say the name of it in this Bible study online right now, but he understood what this particular church in Michigan understood what it meant to be judged before all the facts are known. An assistant pastor and a deacon were falsely accused and put into jail for accusations made by a child. When the facts were made known, the child was found out to be a liar, and the men were acquitted of all charges. However, in the meantime, there are two men and two families that will never be the same because someone spoke before they knew all the facts. Those lives were changed forever. Same thing happened in another church that I'm well acquainted with as well. A young child with a speech impediment sang a song that others interpreted wrongly. And because of this, two men were accused wrongly of child molestation. Well, the story hit the newspapers, as well as the TV and the radio stations, and the church's attendance dropped, and all their children's ministries suffered greatly because of these false accusations. And when the truth was made known, all pending charges were dropped, and the case was dismissed. But the church suffered a great loss, and no apology was ever offered by the media. True story. And then there's a third one here that happened in our church, Timberline. It happened to us here a while back, a number of years ago. I received a rather nasty letter accusing me and this church of misappropriating designated funds. This individual had heard from a so-called reliable source that I had misspent the building fund and other monies which were available in this church. And this individual went on to the extent of contacting a lawyer and threatened to sue Timberline Baptist Church and your pastor. However, all I had to do was go back through the financial records, and they proved him wrong. In fact, the records here are so accurate that they show that since I've been pastor here, there have been no misappropriation of funds. After a long ordeal, all legal actions were dismissed, and the Timberline Baptist Church goes on. And all I had to do was present the facts, which obviously this man did not know. And I said to him, I said, you go ahead and sue us. I said, you just have at it. But let me just give you a quick warning. You better have all your eggs in the same basket, because here's the goods and here's the truth, because you will lose this. He did drop that. By the way, he did that twice to our church, threatened me with a lawsuit both times. Answering a matter before hearing it results, the Bible says, in folly and shame. In other words, those who do it end up eating a lot of crow. And with that in mind, let me give you some guidelines on being a good listener, okay? I have seven of them I want to give you, and they're not long points. They're just seven statements. Number one, listen more than you speak. Listen more than you speak. Secondly, listen to all the facts before you pass judgment. Listen to all the facts before you pass judgment. Thirdly, listen to all the facts before you form an opinion. Listen to all the facts before you personally form an opinion. Number four, listen to no gossip. Number five, listen to no criticism. Number six, be diligent to know the facts or leave the matter alone. And number seven, if you are one who answers a matter before hearing the facts, be prepared to eat more crow than you ever dreamed possible, because that's the way it's going to be. And so these are important guidelines when Solomon tells us that we need to listen. Thus, the message title tonight, Two Ears Plus One Mouth Equals Wisdom. And that's very, very true. Two ears, one mouth equals wisdom. And this is a weak point for many who are in leadership. This is what I've learned through the years about leadership in churches and schools and all kinds of things. It's easy to make a quick judgment based on past experience without hearing all the facts given in any given matter. It is always wise for leadership to learn to listen well. While it is true, a quick answer may not always be the right answer. Let me say it again. A quick answer may be the right answer, but it's not always going to be the right answer. There's going to be times when that fails. And Solomon plainly taught his boy that it would be folly. He said it would really be stupid to make a judgment before you hear all the facts. And so even though Rehoboam did not listen nor follow that example, the decisions he did make were stupid and they were shameful. And I think most of us know that about Rehoboam. And so tonight is not a rebuke to our church family. I don't want anybody to even think that. This is simple instruction. God gave you two ears, one mouth. Learn to listen and listen well and make judgments based upon hearing both sides of a story. I know in rearing children, when you got more than one, And we have more than one, and most folks have more than one. If one man said, if you've got an only child who's always accusing his brother, there's something wrong with that child because he doesn't have a brother. But if you've got more than one child, you realize there's always at least two sides to a story. One of them that I always liked telling, which I'm going to share with you now, was Cindy came crying to us saying, Jonathan hit me. And I said, John, did you hit your sister? He said, no. And she said, he did. He hit me. Here's the red mark on my back. I said, Jonathan, did you hit your sister? No. I slapped her. I thought, oh, great. That's the rest of the story. So when she said, he hit me, he said, no. That's two sides of a story. But then we got down to the nitty-gritty and found out that it was not. And that big red handprint on her back gave it all away. But no, he did not hit her. He slapped her. Call it semantics if you want to. But we got both sides of the story and were able to take care of the whole problem. You can see how that would be interesting to take care of something like that. And that's basically the Bible study tonight. And you realize the wisdom that Solomon gave to his son was so good. He said, son, if you answer a matter before you hear the facts, it's going to be a shame to you. Too bad he didn't listen. And I think that those of us who are here tonight are listening well. Say, Pastor, is there a problem in Timberline with that? No. There has been in times past, but not a great deal. But the bottom line is, this is something where it's like learning something now to avoid anything that may happen later. Because somebody will come to you and say something, and before you make a judgment or form an opinion, you need to go get the other side of the story. Who was it? One of our teenagers, when I was in Minnesota, came into my office one day, and I mean, madder than a wet hen. I mean, she was just flat upset. I heard what you said about me. I said, you did? What did I say? And she said, I heard that you were going to break me and my boyfriend up. I said, really? I said, where'd you hear that? From a reliable source. I said, well, first of all, if I would have said that, you would be broke up with your boyfriend right now. I said, but secondly, I would never say anything like that about you. I said, who's your reliable source? And I picked up the phone and I held it to my ear and I said, let's give your friend a call. Well, I'm not telling you. I said, well, then I'm not going to do anything about it. I didn't say anything like that. Not willing to share the name of the individual so I could get the rest of the story. So I just simply said, you know, time for you to leave my office. And of course she did. I guess there's so many things that could be said right now of what's going on in many, many places in our country, in our churches, even in our families. And so this is just good wisdom for all of us to learn. That's what I think. And let's all stand for a closing word of prayer.